Annie.
Hi, Annie.
Yeah.
Are we recording already?
Yeah, is that okay?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Can you introduce yourself to my listeners? I do Solidarity Breakfast, and we're down here in front of the town hall, and there's a very important vote going on tonight, isn't there?
That's right, Annie. My name's Olivia Ball. I'm a councillor on Melbourne City Council, and tonight it is the final vote that we've all been anticipating about whether the council plan, which is the one major document that any council adopts in each term of council, encompassing everything that a council does, which is a huge, huge broad range of things. We adopt this plan once every term, which is once every 4 years. And of course, this council has been trialling security guards over the last 8 months, and that remains in the plan that is in the meeting papers that have been published for tonight. It could be amended, and I will try to amend it to remove the security guard program, and we will see in the chamber what happens tonight to that amendment and the overall council plan.
Now, last week there was an enormously long meeting where the voices of people affected by that security plan who live on the streets, do you feel had their voices heard? Do you feel that that had an effect?
I can only speak for myself, Annie. It had an enormous effect on me, and I know other people were very affected by it. The critical people we need to wonder about is those who have a vote in tonight's decision. There are 11 councillors. I think they were all present last week and heard that testimony. Over 2 hours of first-person, powerful testimony about the impact that the security guards are having on people on the streets of Melbourne. I found it profoundly moving and extraordinary, and it's a huge credit to the Homeless Persons Union and anyone and everyone who organised it to get together and make those statements and make that important representation to council, because council must hear about the impact of its work, its decisions and its programs, and how they impact the people of Melbourne.
Now, the council is made up of 11 councillors, as you say, and there's a lot more people who actually live in the city than in the past, isn't that right? Like, the makeup of the people who vote for the council includes commercial interests as well as many more residential people, isn't that right?
Yes. Election at the City of Melbourne is different from other councils in Victoria. All councils in Victoria allow landlords to vote. So hypothetically, if you owned a property in the 79 different local government areas in Victoria, you could vote 79 times. It's anathema to democracy that people with property get to vote more often than people without. It doesn't happen at any other level of government. One vote attaches to one person. However, that's true in local government, and again, in the City of Melbourne, there's an added difference. In this municipality alone, businesses vote twice.
Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So that means, of course, that the business vote is doubled relative to any resident, and be voting at all. Businesses don't vote for state government or federal government. Why do they vote for councils?
It's interesting, isn't it? The other thing is that a city like Melbourne, a city council represents it's a flagship, public facing sort of different kind of council, isn't it? You know, it represents a city that's international in its presence, isn't it?
You could say that, yeah. A capital city council is the centre of the major metropolis, and it's very high profile in that regard. Its Lord Mayor, as the leader of this city, doesn't change every year like other councils do. He is directly elected by the people for 4 years, and he is the figurehead who's on the media every single day. That's not true of mayors throughout the suburbs and the shires. It does have a unique quality, being the capital city council, same as the City of Sydney, City of Brisbane, City of Perth and so forth. Those capital city councils, they have more resources, and we're expected to set a higher standard, and we like to be standard setters. And unfortunately, in a negative sense, people, other councils might want to follow what the City of Melbourne does. If the City of Melbourne's doing it, we should do it too, or why can't we do it too? And so that is a real risk with a program like this that I know other councils are looking to emulate in.
Well, the other thing about it is that surveillance, which is not just private security, but it's surveillance, increase in surveillance cameras. There's a belief that this will is a security method, but in actual fact, it doesn't actually cause, statistically, it has doesn't stop bad behaviour.
No.
It just observes it.
You're 100% right. If CCTV and surveillance cameras stopped crime, we wouldn't have any crime. The crime rate in Melbourne would have dwindled as the technology was improved and increased and expanded across our city. It would have just wiped out crime because the CBD, certainly, there is no place in the public realm where you're not seen on a video camera, which is monitored in real time here inside Melbourne Town Hall. So if it were true that cameras prevented crime, we wouldn't have any crime, which is clearly a preposterous idea. Cameras have a useful role in detecting and solving crime, but they do not prevent crime. So let's not fool ourselves. What prevents crime is, well, a whole lot of other things. And what I would like to see the City of Melbourne doing is what's known as justice reinvestment, is not taking a law and order approach and, frankly, wasting millions of dollars on moving around people around our city and not solving any problems. And of course, I don't want to equate homeless people with crime. That is a false analogy.
Well, it's about being untidy. Untidiness. It's very sort of bourgeois kind of concept,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Let's think about who is safe, who is actually safe and who actually feels safe, and what are these measures intended to do? Who are they intended to protect or, frankly, pander to?
Homeless people deserve to be safe as well.
Of course they do. And they are, who is most at risk on our streets? It's not middle-class people walking past something they might find threatening or unsavoury. It's people sleeping rough, people escaping family violence and encountering violence on the streets. We know the life expectancy of people living on the streets and homeless is so much lower than the rest of the population. It is a health hazard, it is a lethal risk, and it is a place of unsafety for people who are in that position through no fault of their own and cannot avoid it.
They also say that cities like Melbourne have services. So, you know, hiding away the homelessness or sending people to far-flung places is actually removing them from the services and the safety that they're seeking.
Well, that's true. To the extent that we provide services here, even if we didn't, people have a right to exist. We're not treating everyone as equal if we think that if you have a home in the City of Melbourne, you have a right to be here. But if you don't have a home, you don't have a right to be here.
Yeah.
It's fundamentally treating unhoused people as less than. And I, of course, I don't hold that view, and I find it very, very troubling.
Is there something I should have asked you? You've been doing a lot of social media, which is great, raising these issues. It's an important thing, isn't it?
I'm very glad you asked me about whether security cameras affect crime, because...
I know they don't.
Yeah.
And not only that just a personal experience. I was covering a demonstration a number of years ago up near Collins, atop of Collins Street, and the police were doing the critical response police pushed me over. I was just standing there doing my coverage,
yeah.
And they pushed me over and broke my arm. And you'd think that a place like that would have had lots of cameras and that I should have had a public, a legal result, but I got no result over that. So I know cameras don't work in that regard.
And it certainly didn't prevent what happened to you.
Yeah,
but
right.
I'm glad you mentioned that, actually, because that is another thing, since you asked, that I'm very concerned about in this plan, is the intention of this council to limit our right to peaceful protest. That is in this version of the council plan, and again, I'll be moving an amendment to remove that provision in the council plan, because I'm very concerned that there are already huge encroachments on the right to peaceful protest by the state government, and I don't want to see any additional limitations on our right to protest. It's fundamental to democracy, and no government should be in the position of deciding who can protest when and where. I mean, it's anathema.
Well,
to
the other week, there was the bikes race from, you know, the bay to,
yes,
and then there was the marathon. Everything got dislocated. It's okay to dislocate everybody for a sports event.
The opening of a makeup store in Bourke Street Mall.
Yeah,
the
it was
trams,
okay.
The trams were stopped to open a department store.
Yeah, well, there you go.
For commercial interests, fine.
Yeah.
But for democratic interests, it's so fundamentally important in a democracy that we can all express our views and come together in public places to join together and express those views. How else between elections can we tell the government how we feel about what they're doing? I can't support these limitations that are being proposed, and I certainly hope they fail tonight.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Annie.